This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 30, entitled Description of Adverse Fruitive Activities, text number 9. Meshu kuta dharmeshu, dukkatantre shadantrita, kurvan dukkha patikaram, Shukavan manyate grihi. The attached householder remains in his family life, which is full of diplomacy and politics, always spreading miseries and controlled by acts of sense gratification. He acts just to counteract the reactions of all his miseries, and if he can successfully counteract such miseries, he thinks that he is happy. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, the personality of Godhead himself certifies the material world as an impermanent place that is full of misery. There's no question of happiness in this material world, either individually or in terms of family, society, or country. If something is going on in the name of happiness, that is also illusion. Here in the material world, happiness means successful counteraction to the effects of distress. The material world is so made that unless one becomes a clever diplomat, his life will be a failure. Not to speak of human society, even the society of lower animals, the birds and bees, cleverly manages its bodily demands of eating, sleeping, and mating. Human society competes nationally or individually, and in the attempt to be successful, the entire human society becomes full of diplomacy. We should always remember that in spite of all diplomacy and all intelligence and the struggle for our existence, everything will end in a second by the Supreme Will. Therefore, our attempts to become happy in this material world are simply a delusion offered by Maya. Translation: the attached householder remains in his family life, which is full of diplomacy and politics, always spreading miseries and controlled by acts of sense gratification. He acts just to counteract the reactions of all his miseries. And if he can successfully counteract such miseries, he thinks that he is happy. Once again, in this verse of Bhagavatam and Śrīla Prabhupāda's purport, we hear about the miseries of material existence. There's plenty of verses like this in the Bhagavatam. Although our paramgati is the spiritual world, wherein there are no miseries. Vaikuntha, as we said the other day in the public lecture, Kunta means a place of misery. No one can contest this fact in the material world. But in spiritual world, parastasma tu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana. Beyond this world, which is sometimes manifested and sometimes unmanifested, there's an eternal world, an eternal creation, which is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Therefore, it's called Vaikuntha, a place where there's no anxiety. That is our goal. It's where we want to go. But to get there, we have to be convinced first about the futility of material life. Dukkalayam ashashvatam. This material world, Krishna summarizes, elegance is truth spoken concisely. Instead of a long-winded lecture, you summarize the truth in a few essential sentences and get on with life. Dukkalayam ashashvatam, Krishna says. What is this world? You may think this, you may think that, you may have your theories and postulate this and that. Well, who's supreme authority? Who knows better than the Lord? The one who created it. If you are an artist and you create something, there are people with artistic abilities. If you're an artist and you create something, you know it better than anyone else. You know it inside and out. And if there's something to be explained, we will come to you. So if we want to understand what is this creation, and it's a very mysterious creation, all the gross and subtle truths, it's very mysterious. They don't even know how our fingernails are growing yet. We're so advanced in science, they don't know how from soft tissue, hard tissue is coming. If you want to understand anything, and you want to understand everything, then you have to go to He whom created it. Aham Shavasya Pavavo Matasarvam Pavartate. Krishna says in Gita, I'm the source of all that is material and all that is spiritual. The wise who know this, they engage in my devotional service. So what is this world around us? It's not a big mystery. If you accept authority, if you accept the right authority, Dukalaya Mashashvatam. But because we're not convinced, because we're stubborn, because we're obstinate in giving up our cherished material desires, and we're not so convinced about Krishna. At one GBC meeting in 1970, the GBC were sitting with Prabhupada, and the discussions were going on. Prabhupada stopped the discussions at one point. He said, he addressed the 8 GBC men. Do you really believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He asked them. And I was told that there was kind of a mood that kind of looked down. Well, yes, and yes. What kind of answer is that? Yes. No, yes. Yes, I believe. Hare Krishna. Because we have those attachments to this material world, therefore we don't have the faith in Krishna. This is one reason. Because we maintain attachments, we maintain faith in material life, we cannot be attached and have full faith in Krishna. That's how it works. If you're attached to this material world, it means you have faith that this material energy will produce what you need to be happy. If you can't give that up, you're not going to have faith that in Krishna consciousness all your desires will be fulfilled. Savai pungsham pada dharmo yato bhaktir dhoksaji ahaituki patiyata yayatma shupasidati. That's a wonderful line. Yayatma shupasidati. The supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which they can attain to the loving devotional service of the Lord. Such devotional service must be ahaituki apatiyata. It must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. And then what happens? Yayatma shupashidati. Complete satisfaction of the self. All your desires are fulfilled. Just like if a man has an attachment for a paramour, someone who's not his wife, he can't give his whole heart to his wife. It's not possible. So if we have some attachments to this world, we cannot be fully attached to Krishna. And we're only cheating ourselves. We're only fooling ourselves. If we think that we maintain something just like in the back pocket, you've got some extra security there, a few extra dollars, then no. Anyabilasita sunyam jnana karma narvitam anukalena krishnu shilanam bhakti uttama. No selfish motivations. And service, but what kind of service? Not just service, but service which is pleasing to Krishna. What type of service is pleasing to Krishna? Loving devotional service. When your eyes are filled with tears and you make the offering. It's not the offering that Krishna is necessarily pleased with, even if it's a whatever carat diamond ring. It's the mood in which you make the offering. This whole movement's about love, actually. So devotional service as Krishna desires it. And what does Krishna want? He wants loving devotional service. It's not enough to go through the mechanics of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. No. We often quote, when Prabhupada was in Boston, and the guest asked him, Swamiji, what does it mean, this Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna? Prabhupada could have answered so many ways. He said, what does it mean, Hare Krishna? It means, my friend, my friend, my friend. So it's the devotion. Of course, in the beginning, it's not to be expected. We're all a bit mechanical. But the mechanics of the process purify the heart of all lust, anger, and greed, and give the tender creeper of bhakti, which is already there in the heart, the chance to mature and grow nicely. So right at our point in Krishna consciousness, we have to be honest. The devotee is straightforward. We have to be honest where we are in Krishna consciousness so we know what is our next step. We can't fool ourselves, oh yes, I'm a very advanced devotee. No. Again, you're cheating yourself. If you cheat, you're fooling yourself if you think that you can be happy by maintaining material desires, and you also fool yourself if you think you're more advanced than you are. You have to be very honest where you are so you know what is the next step. Ado shraddha tatha sadhu sangata bhajana kriya nati niviti syat. We're somewhere there in between that first half of devotional service before the rati, the attachment comes, and the bhav and the spiritual emotions and the love of God. But where are we? We're aspiring to be devotees. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you're the greatest Vaishnava. And Prabhupada lowered his head. He said, a Vaishnava is a very elevated thing. I'm just trying to become a Vaishnava. So we consider ourselves aspiring devotees, full of material desires. One little drop of devotion by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, which keeps us going on. But hopeful that by continuing this process of Krishna consciousness, we'll give up those nasty desires which we foolishly hold on to, and get more and more and more in mercy from Guru and Krishna. So one of the processes is to hear about the horrific nature of material life. That's how we let go. When I was in high school, in my senior year, when we all came of age to drive a car, we went to driver education school. I don't know if they do that here in Australia, but everyone has to go to a driver education course for 6 months. And if you pass the course, then you can study the manuals for the driving course, and you take a driving test, and only then you get a driving license. You have to go through a whole, like a school, a course, and they offer it in high school. So in the high school, they were teaching us how to drive and how to avoid accidents. Because I remember my instructor said, the main thing to watch out for is the other guy. You may be a very good driver, but there's a bunch of crazy people on the street. You can also lose your life. So they watch out for the other guy. Always the eyes are moving. Side, you're looking in the mirrors, looking in the back mirror. You're always... you're focused on the front, but you're always aware of what's happening around you. And then what they did is they showed us what was called red asphalt. I have that video. It was a movie. It was on the 60mm movie. In my mind, very clearly, even now, it was just a footage of one act, real accident after another, after another, after. The crash cars, the bloody bodies, the people on stretchers being put into the ambulance, the screams, the babies. I remember some of the girls were vomiting. The teacher wouldn't let us leave the room. He said, more than anything else, this movie will convince you to be a good driver. And it's true. It's true. Whenever I get in a car, because I do drive in some places, in America, I drive quite a lot when I'm there traveling and preaching. I put the key, and I remember that movie. And I drive like an old grandma. Maharaj, we're going to be late. Maharaj, we're going to be late. I always say, what's better to be late in this lifetime than early into the next lifetime? So I'm a bit fanatic about driving. But the point is that by seeing that, I became convinced to be a good driver. So we don't really see the material world as it is. Our eyes are covered by illusion. We have this strong propensity to enjoy, so we don't see. So how do we see? We see through the mercy of Guru. We have faith that our spiritual master sees things differently than we do. As an intelligent person, he sees through his ears, not through his eyes. We don't trust these eyes. If we would see our situation, see how many mistakes we have made in life, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, life after life, we wouldn't have much faith in our own ability to understand things. Rather, we put that faith in sadhus, whose vision is clear, tattvadarshi, who's seen the truth. Seeing the truth doesn't mean necessarily that they've seen the original form of Radha and Krishna. They're also seeing through Guru Shastra and Sadhu. That's also a way to see. They're also seeing the same thing through knowledge. And in time, vigyan comes, realization comes. So these purports are they're horrific. Prabhupada's describing, you know, materialistic life and the results of that. And he says there's no happiness. He says, what is their happiness? Their happiness is only a relief of a painful situation. That's what happiness is in this world. That's the sum and substance of happiness. Someone's banging you on the head. Bang, bang, bang. Ouch, 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 ouch. And they stop. Ah, I'm so happy. Hello? That's not happiness. Happiness is not only, it's a form of happiness, that the suffering stops, that you get over the flu. Just like yesterday, I went to Manjulali's and her husband's, their optometrist, and I went to get a new prescription, and they decided I would have a full eye exam, and there was maybe, after the exam, there was this, maybe I had this problem with my left eye, glaucoma, what's it called, glaucoma? It's actually quite a serious disease when I went on the net, I read about it. So I was in anxiety. It wasn't sure, but there was a big black spot in the testing, and they have the eyes, and then I was worried. I looked it up. Your peripheral vision goes down, and then you lose your eyesight, and there was this big black hole. So they very kindly arranged an appointment for an eye special eye surgeon, very qualified doctor, very nice man, and I went through all the tests, and I was and the lady, the technician, actually she wasn't so professional. Well, yes, if you have it, it's really bad. She said, and I see here, you're not getting so many good marks on this test. And so I'd resigned myself to the fact that I had this eye disease and I was slowly going to become blind. I had, how the mind works. But it seemed like, and I was looking at all the diagrams on the walls and seeing how you go from this stage. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm going to be blind. Get a walking stick. Give a class, blind, Who's here? And then we went through the test, and then they gave it to the doctor, and he studied it for 20 minutes. And he came back in the office, he's laughing. You don't have glaucoma. Nah, not a chance, right, Shanti? So this reason and that reason, he showed us the test. He said, sometimes it's like that. The initial test, he said, 80% of the time, the initial test shows something positive, but when we do the deeper test, it comes out negative. So you're free. I was like, whew. Is that ecstasy? To be relieved from fear and anxiety? It's a type of happiness. I mean, I tell you, I was happy. I was dancing down the street. We said, let's go shopping, Shanti. Because I needed something. So I was like, just to get away. And I needed a phone, so we went. And then Krishna arranged so many things. So anyway, that's not happiness, to be relieved from the bang. Ah, ekstaza. Polish. Happiness is Krishna consciousness. Happiness is at the end of our programs at the festival, and we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. And you see the people. They get up, they just move, they get up, and they raise their hands. Hare Krishna, dancing. This is happiness, because we're in contact with the reservoir of all pleasure, who is Krishna. And because we're glorifying Him, because we are acting in our constitutional position as His humble servants, we're happy. This chanting immediately establishes you in your constitutional position as servant of Krishna. And the servant, who has a very nice master, loves to glorify the master. Just like I told the devotees in Mayapur when I read this this offering to Srila Prabhupada, which I read to you before class, the Disappearance Day offering to Srila Prabhupada. I told the devotees, I said, this is my favorite talk. My favorite talk is to talk about my spiritual master. You know, Prabhupada's Appearance Day and Prabhupada's Disappearance Day, for me, these are the best days of the year. I just go on, and like Prabhupada said, I do not know who is Krishna, I only know my spiritual master. By his mercy I was saved, by his mercy I'm making progress in Krishna consciousness. So these things bring us into contact, Hari Guru Vaishnava, with Krishna, and we become happy. And finally we get the message, like the little mouse, the pellets are coming, he hits the green light, and the pellet drops out, he hits the red light, he gets a shock on his nose, the mouse. Moink, oh! Moink, oh! Moink, oh! Moink, oh! So finally, he becomes convinced, no more red. I only want the green. So that's life, that's how Krishna has arranged it. Abhrama bhuvana loka punar arvitu arjuna. Just one mishap after another, and we're thinking, it's not going to happen again. My devotee friend, Gopaswami Das, he told me, he works in the emergency part of the hospital, like people come in. And he says, so often they say, doctor, I never thought this would happen to me. So finally, we get convinced. But best way to be convinced is to hear Shastra and to accept that Shastra straight into your heart. Whatever it says you do, you do. Whatever it says you don't, you don't. But I want to do the don't. No. I don't want to do the do. Sorry. Krishna consciousness means to accept some things which you may not necessarily want to accept, and it means to give up some things you may not want to give up. You have to be prepared. You have to have faith in Guru and Krishna. To give up what they tell you to give up, and to accept what they tell you to accept. So Shastra, Shastra. Here it is, the review of material life. It's not a very good review. You should take it to heart, just like in modern society. There's people whose jobs it is to review new movies, new plays, new books. That's their job. They just review it. They go to the movie before it's released and they write a report. They go to the play, the theater, and they write a report. There's a book that comes out. Now, if they give a good review, everyone swarms to the movie. Everyone goes to the theater. Everyone buys the book. Who's that lady? Oprah Winfrey in America. Probably they have her show here also on television. She's so popular. When she invites someone on her show, that's like magic. That person's... Generally, she likes to invite people who are authors and have books. That person may be unknown. His book may have no sales. But as soon as the person's on the Oprah Winfrey show, that book becomes a bestseller overnight. She picks it up. She says, I believe in this book. Right now she's campaigning for one of the presidential candidates because the elections are coming up in America next year. So she sided with, I forget his name. Obama. He's a Afro-American man and quite intelligent and been in politics, young man, but she's backing him. So because of her backing, wow, his popularity. Whew. So that's all right, and this is the fear of every movie producer, every playwright and author. If those persons give a bad review, it can be a really good book, but if they have some personal grudge against the author, no one wants to go to that movie. Nobody wants to watch that play. Nobody buys the book. So here in Bhagavatam, Shukdev Goswami is giving us a review of this cosmic manifestation. And we should listen, because he's a self-realized soul. And let me tell you, the review is not very good. It's not very promising, ladies and gentlemen. don't go to the movie of material life. Just like I heard Prabhupada say one time in New York, he was very proud. He was giving darshan in his room. You'll never see one of my devotees going to one of these illicit movies. He was talking about like pornography and things like that. Never they will go. It's so proud. So we hear about this cosmic manifestation and all that it entails. And what do? We develop a spirit of renunciation. We don't have to go out and experience it. That's the second class way. First class way, you hear, you accept. Second class is you hear, you try on your own, you get burned. Oh, Guru Maharaj, I should have listened to you. Well, I've been telling you that for a long time, you should have listened. But now I will, okay. Better late than never. But then there's the disciple who hears the instruction and does the no-no, gets burned, and does it again, gets burned and does it again, never seems to learn. Testing our patience and tolerances as authorities. We have to be so tolerant in Kali Yuga. Best is to save yourself so much trouble. Sir, yes, sir, you have said. Snake is a rope. Yes, sir, it's a rope. Rope is a snake. Sir, yes, sir. It doesn't look like that, but you have faith. Tattva Darshi. You see differently than me. What is the use of my seeing? Look at the mess I'm in. If I'm such an authority, why then am I in this mess of life? So therefore, when Sanatana Goswami approached Lord Chaitanya, the first thing he said, sir, I'm a fool. You instruct me. He knew so many things. He was a very learned personality. But as far as the Atma Tattva, he didn't know much. Of course, he knew everything because he was in the spiritual world, but for our advantage. So this is our mentality. So when Guru says, when Sadhu says, when Shastra says, sir, yes, sir. In the military, we were taught like that. We didn't just say, yes, sir, to our commanding officer. We said, sir, yes, sir, sir. So hearing these things, what do? We turn our back on material life. Just as we walked away from Krishna one day and saw darkness. Because when you turn your back on the sun, what do you see? You no longer see the brilliance. You see the darkness of your shadow. But if you turn back towards the sun, what do you see? Everything's illuminated. So if you turn your back on material existence, don't fear turning your back on material life. Oh, what? Who will take care of me? Yogakshemam bahamyaham, Krishna says. For my devotee who's turned towards me, who's engaged in my service, I provide whatever they need, and I protect whatever they have. Is that true? Yes, sir, it's true. But you'll never know unless you take the risk. Fortune favors the brave. You take a little risk in Krishna consciousness. Try it. It works. It's worked for thousands and years, millions, billions of years for those who've turned their back on material life and with open arms have embraced the process of Krishna. Krishna will never let you down. We have to be able to turn away from material life. Like Maharaj Parikshit said to Shukadeva Goswami very early, I think it's, I can't remember where it is, but it's in the beginning of Bhagavatam. Rajnam kulam brahmana padas sochat. Durad vishvitam patag harya karma, he said. Maharaj Parikshit said to Shukadeva, his guru, indeed, we are the most grateful of all kings who are trained to get favors from great souls. Generally, you sages consider royalty as refuse to be rejected and left in a distant place. That's how devotees, of course, he's a saintly king, but, you know, kings and all that represent sense gratification, you know, whatever, any type of material enjoyment. We consider this to be refuge to be rejected and left in a distant place. So these verses, when we hear them, they instill a feeling of renunciation in our hearts. Of course, we're not technically tyagis. Tyagi means a really renounced person who just lives in the forest and eats the brown leaves, not the green leaves, eats the leaves that fall from the tree. The green ones have more nutrition. He eats the ones that fall from the tree and are rotting. That's what he eats. He digs up some roots. No salt, no sugar, just the root. He's not jogging and exercising. He's just sitting there. Om Tat Sat. Om Tat Sat. Om Tat Sat. 50, 60, 70, 80 years. No cell phone, no iPod, no Macintosh, no computer, no TV, no car, nothing. In the forest. Tigers coming. Raki Krishna Marike. Marike Krishna Rakike. And tiger runs. We're not tyagis. Our renunciation is to use everything in Krishna's service. But renunciation is important, again. It's required to take up the path of devotion. As Jesus said, you can't enjoy mammon and service to God simultaneously. So what's our famous verse, Raghava, about renunciation and devotional service? Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshartam eke purusha puranaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Buddhir Yastam Aham Prapadye. That is a verse you have to have under your belt, under your turned up dhoti there. Prabhupada said, you quote a verse seven times, it's yours. What would you want more? More valuable than a jewel. I want that verse. I want to know that verse and I want to realize that verse. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. Such a nice verse. That is our spirit of renunciation. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. So if you live a life like that, if you renounce from the source of stress and anxiety, like you have this, you know, you catch hold of there's this windstorm and electric pole falls down, the live wire, so you grab it. Let go! So if you let go of materialism, if you renounce, you're halfway there, just to renounce it. But then you take up devotional service. Both are required. So as devotees, we don't have to fear having to experience these horrific purports. They're scary. When you read these purports, they're scary. Like a scary movie. Lots of times I ask the children, do you want to hear a funny story? Or do you want to hear an educational story? Or do you want to hear a scary story? They go, I want to hear a scary story. This is a scary story, but this is not a story. This is life. You walk out of the temple. This is life. This is Sydney. This is Australia. This is the Asia Pacific. This is the world. It's scary. But it doesn't have to be like that for devotees. Even in this world, it doesn't have to be like that. We read in Bhagavatam how during the time of Maharaj Yudhisthira, it rained at night. It was sunny during the day, just like the old days in Australia. Remember when it was sunny and hot here? There was an abundance of fruits and vegetables and grains. The cows soaked the earth with milk. People lived 1,000 years. These miseries are not meant for devotees. These miseries are in direct proportion to one's sins in this life and the past. And we don't have any sins. You can say, sir, I have plenty of sins. No, but this process is so nice that when you come to the point of surrender, when you are ready for diksha, Harinam diksha, what happens? Guru Maharaj takes the pup. Papa, he takes the sin to give you the liberty to advance without too much difficulty in Krishna consciousness. So whether you were born sinless like Prabhupada, Prabhupada said there was never a time I ever forgot the lotus feet of Krishna. He never sinned once in his life. But by his grace only, we're in a similar situation because he took those sins, that burden upon him. That's why Prabhupada said the spiritual master should not take more disciples than he's capable of dealing with. Because when the guru takes the karma, what happens? Does he suffer? Sometimes, just to show the disciple they should be serious about not doing those things again. But he should be strong enough. have enough faith in the holy names which burn those sinful reactions to ashes. So powerful. Can burn his sinful reaction and can burn the sins of his disciples to ashes just by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So because we don't have sin, we don't have to suffer. These things, these purports, don't worry, they're not meant for you. This is a window into another room, not the window to the spiritual world that Prabhupada talks about in these paintings. We're looking into we're looking in the back room. We're not looking in the front room. Our vision, we always look to the lotus feet of Vishnu in the spiritual world. We don't look back, like Prabhupada said to one sannyasi, gave him his danda. Don't look back and think that you ever left anything behind. And don't envy the position of the materialistic sense enjoyers. We're looking into another room just to remind us, hey, don't go back. Because sometimes devotees, they go back. So many have gone back. Open the door and back to the back room. No. Tedeva sita parigita pavitra katha yasarava shama dusho bhavat paranaha. My dear servants, Yamaraj said to the Yamaduts, please do not approach the devotees of the Lord, for they have fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do not even go near the Vishnu Bhaktas. They are always protected by the club of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore Lord Brahma and I, and even the time factor, are not competent to chastise the Vishnu Bhaktas. Jeho. But of course that's, are you Vishnu Bhakta? Yes sir, I am. To what degree? Tora. No, Atmanivedanam, then you get the full protection. Just like a law-abiding citizen, he doesn't have to be afraid when the police, just like in my room, all night long. The fire engine, the ambulances, the police cars. But they're not coming for me. I'm not afraid. But when the criminal out there at 2 o'clock in the morning, you hear those guys, they're partying, they are afraid. So if you're sinful, you can be afraid that you would be punished by the laws of nature. But if you're following if you're in harmony with material nature, if you're following the shastras, then you will not be punished. Not even the slightest. Kirakor yahirakor kortukorhai. This is Bengali. Whether one steals a cucumber or a diamond, a thief is a thief. You steal diamond, then you get big punishment. If you steal cucumber, but you still get some punishment. And all these people living together, what does it mean? It means this big collective karma, these wars, these big diseases spreading everywhere, this famine and everything. But this is not for devotees. What we're seeing now, their collective karma, it's quite ugly. That's not meant for us. But for them, it's only the tip of the iceberg. I often say how fortunate I feel to see I've been able to see the last remnants of Vedic culture in my lifetime, especially when I first joined. In the early 70s, I'd go to India. You'd meet some real genuine sadhus, some genuine householders, like noble families from the disciplic succession. And I saw a culture was so rich, it was so deep. And it's all disappearing now, day by day. I feel fortunate to have been with Prabhupada to some houses and see how he was received, how he was treated, so nice. And conversely, I feel fortunate that, if by Prabhupada's mercy I don't have to take birth again, I won't have to witness the terrible things this age will produce as time goes on. It's all coming soon. Now you just see the preview. One time a devotee said, Prabhupada, I just want to distribute your books for the life after life. I said, what? Don't come back, he said. This Kali Yuga is going to get worse and worse. So we should act as devotees and live a sinless life, and then we don't have to worry at all about these things that are coming. We can live in a world, like Jesus said, to be in this world but not of this world. like the lotus flower. The lotus flowers in the muddy waters of the lake. Your stem goes down, down into the muck, a mucky mud. It grows up. But then the flower, where's the flower? The flower's not in the mud. The flower's not even in the water. If you look closely at a lotus flower, it's always a couple centimeters, even an inch above the water. It's in the water, but it's not of the water. So Jesus said, you can be in this world, but not of this world, if you practice Krishna consciousness. Mamcha yo vibhichayana bhakti yogena sevate sagunan simatityaitan brahma bhuya kalpate. One who is engaged in this process of Krishna consciousness, who doesn't deviate under any circumstance, what happens? Oh, Krishna says, he transcends the modes of nature and comes to the level of Brahman. So we don't have to witness these purports. We can be in Sydney, but we are in our temple. And even when we're on the street, we're in Vaikuntha because we're preaching Krishna consciousness. Even if we're not preaching, we're just acting as devotees, going about our business, we're protected. Sometimes, of course, we do have to see these things, but we may even have to experience, because Krishna leaves a little residue of karma in there just so we don't become complacent. You know, we don't become complacent, we have to go through things. But we shouldn't fear, even if we're living around, these things are around us, because Krishna says, Kuntiya pati janahi name bhakta panashati. Hey, son of Kunti, declare it boldly, my devotee never perishes. Mahatmanas tumam partha dhaivim prakritim ashvita. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are working under the protection of the divine energy. Ananyas chintayato mam yejana panupashite. Those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Partha naiveha namuta vinashastasya vidyate. O son of Prita, transcendentalists engaged in auspicious activities do not meet with destruction, either in this world or the next. For one who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. Sarva karmam yapi shadha kurvano mad vyapashraha. Although engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee under my protection reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. Chetasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya para. In all activities, just depend upon me, always work under my protection. In such devotional service, Krishna says, be fully conscious of me. Matchita sarva durgani mat prasada tarishasi. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all obstacles of material life by my grace. So these things are going on around us. It's not our fault, but we're here for now to make the best use of a bad bargain. But don't be afraid, you won't become involved. And if you are, take it as Krishna's mercy to make you more serious in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we see tragedy befall devotees. But these things are not given by the material energy. These things are given by the Lord. And we have to be ready to pass whatever test may come. But as long as we're here, we will receive the protection of the Lord. Just like if you work for yourself, then you have to pay your own insurance. But if you work for a big company, they pay the insurance for you. So if you're in this material world, you have to protect yourself. But if you're working for Krishna, if you're serving Krishna, you're covered by the Lord. So don't worry about these purports, Prabhus. If you're sinless, if you're pure, if you're strict in Krishna consciousness, you don't have to see these things. Still, we look back and we look into that room just to convince ourselves, I'll never go back. I'll only go forward. Sometimes the mind's a little tricky. Yes, but I remember when I was young. Hey, wait a minute. Read the Bhagavatam. This is the real story. And don't be afraid living in a world where there's these reactions are flying around. Lord will protect you if you depend upon Him. And in Krishna consciousness, if we live this life as we're taught to live, we can have Vaikuntha on this planet. I mean, we do kind of already, isn't it? We live in this world of Vaikuntha here in the temple. It's kind of good to go out and meet the people and remind yourself what it's all about. But if we strictly follow, then it will be like the Bible says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." We can have that Vaikuntha. We can have the life that Yudhishthira, during the reign of Yudhishthira, 5,000 years ago, we can recreate to a certain degree. Of course, it's always the material world, but life can be easier and more simpler so that the mind is peaceful, so that we can practice Krishna consciousness very easily. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And go back home, back to Godhead. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, back home, back to Godhead ki, Gaur Premanandi.